760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Atlanta, Georgia. We are with you. Our prayers are with you. Our hearts are with you. This is The Morning Quest, where we find joy in the journey, but it may be safer if that journey is inside at the moment. I'm Josh Harris with Dave Savage and Allison DeLuhl.
Good morning.
So maybe the journey is just like from your bedroom to the kitchen.
Yes.
Would be the journey we're doing this morning.
Finding joy in the journey. Or maybe you've got some snowshoes on, or, you know, the journey is in a sled with your kiddos.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
I wouldn't actually know, though, how snowy it is right now because we're hunkered down. Or is there another reason we might not know what it's really looking like?
Well, because we recorded this yesterday.
Yesterday.
So we're not here today.
I'm not here right now.
No. Which means we can't give any traffic reports on this show, but you shouldn't be driving today anyway.
But yeah. Wouldn't it be fun if we just guessed the traffic? We could be like Nostradamus or something.
How about nobody's on the road? Or nobody should be on the road, right?
Yeah, they shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be. Okay. Well, what if we guessed the traffic based on what happened in that snowstorm? Was it like 10 years ago?
Oh, 2014,
When people were abandoning their cars on the highway?
That was intense.
My stepfather is a doctor. He slept in his office in one of the exam chairs.
No.
Like one of the, whatever you call that. Is that an exam thing?
I think so. But
exam table?
It reclined, you know, like you can prop it up and everything.
So yeah.
Maybe he was able to watch TV or something.
I don't know if he was watching. Maybe. But yeah, that's next level stuff, man. I hope it's less intense than that.
Mm-hmm. And we won't know.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it on Monday.
We will. But I'm sure it's going to be a nice day just chilling with family.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you're doing a few things that are absolutely pivotal. Speaking of family, I hope you're praying. I hope you are praying. And speaking of praying, Allison, do you have a prayer for us?
I sure do. Let's start with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today seeking your comfort and protection as we face the snow and ice. Please keep us safe from harm and guide us through the challenging weather. We ask that you protect those who may be working or traveling, granting them your strength and care. The Lord will watch over you coming and going both now and forevermore. Psalm 121:8. May we find peace in knowing that you are always watching over us, providing your refuge in times of need. We trust in your loving care. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we got to be praying. We got to be on top of this thing. And you know what we need to be on top of? Our scripture.
The memory.
And I'm pulling out. Professor Josh is about to test his students.
Romans 12:1. I remembered that.
Okay, so you automatically get a 50. Now let's see if you can get the other 50.
You are
points.
Bringing back memories of school to me, and I am already traumatized. Oh my gosh. Pop quiz.
I'm going to write this on my arm so when you test me, it'll be there.
Romans 12:1. I'm not going to look. Let's see if I can still remember it. I appeal to you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to make your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for God, which is your spiritual worship. Did I get that right?
Let's see.
Yeah, I got it right. Yeah.
Go, Josh.
I got that one right. Now, I wonder if I can get part. Are you ready, Dave?
So this is Romans 12:2.
Oh, we're still on 12:1. Now all the students need to repeat after the teacher.
I remembered Romans 12:1.
Okay, yeah, you get an A.
But what if our translations are a tad bit different?
Okay. What does yours say? Jesus wept.
I urge you then, brothers, remembering the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, dedicated and acceptable to God, that is the kind of worship for you.
That's good. That's great. Okay, now I'm not looking. Y'all are testifying that I'm not looking. I'm wondering if I can get Romans 12:2.
Okay.
I totally swung and missed yesterday. I mean, I was into it and I was going and I was so excited. And then just the train fell off the tracks and I kept trying. And Dave said, we have to end the show. And I was, you know, just the little engine that could over here. And it didn't work out too well.
Hook, you know, on those shows, old shows, yeah, you pull the hook and you pull them off the stage. You were pulled off.
No, I can do it. I can do it, coach.
So that's why you wanted to do it at the beginning of the show, because we got a whole hour. Huh?
Exactly. Okay,
Josh, go for it.
Okay. Do not conform yourself to this world, but transform yourself by the renewal of your mind. I don't think I'm going to get it.
Well, you're paraphrasing
it. Be transformed. Mm-hmm. That's it.
You may discern.
Okay, so do not. I peeked down really quick at one part, so let me see if I can get it right. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Again, this version is a little bit different. But
yeah,
again,
mine's a little bit different.
So mine's a little different. I think I have the hard version. Like, I feel like the way this is written is, I love this Bible, by the way. It's the, I'm reading out of the Didache Bible with commentaries based on the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Ignatius Bible Edition. It's a home run of a Bible, but sometimes I'm like, man, this is much more challenging to memorize because I don't think anybody writes like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just speaks like this, should I say.
Yeah.
People don't, it's not.
Well, that's most Bible translations, isn't it?
Yeah, I think some are a little trickier than others, though. Yeah. But yes, 100%.
But mm-hmm. You know what I do like, Josh? You know, as you're reading the second part, talking about my version here says, do not model your behavior on the contemporary world, but let the renewing of your minds transform you. So again, we're not called to transform ourselves into a worldly way.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to be different and set apart.
Amen.
So it's beautiful memorizing scripture, but let's also look at it and see what it's telling us so we can live it.
And I find these verses are, here's my goal. Is to try to memorize, you know, a verse, something a week, right?
Yeah.
So, because at first I was like, well, maybe one a day, but that's a big ask. So I'm thinking, because if you do one a week, you're really going to actually, it's going to sink
deep. That's doable.
That's doable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in this case, I'm going to try to do two, but, and then by the end of the year, it's just one a week. What is that? Well, by the end of the year, that's like 52 verses. Mm-hmm. Or 52, maybe done a little more than that because some of them are multiple verses. Let's just say, that's 52 quotes from scripture that may speak to a particular circumstance that you're going through. And mm-hmm. I find that, I mean, if you're tempted, if you're angry, there's just so many
mm-hmm.
different applications. You pull out that scriptural band-aid and it goes to the root.
Bingo.
Not the root. It goes to the root because the word of God is alive and active. Right?
Amen. No, I love that. And you know what's making me think? It's so easy to memorize songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can name and I can sing different songs. But sometimes when you talk about, let's talk about our scripture verse, I kind of freak out a little bit because I'm not good at memorizing things. But realistically, practice doing it over and over, looking at it, and just asking the Holy Spirit to help me.
Yeah, and maybe if we got some extra time in the snow day, we can put our nose to the Bible and just see if we can.
Look at that.
Well, and that's a great point, though, too, because I can remember, you know, my baloney has a first name. It's OSCS.
Commercials. I know.
I mean, you remember that, but then I remember that much better than I remember scripture.
Yes.
So we should put scripture to music.
Oh, that would
remember
be fun.
Easier.
Actually, a good idea. It's really simple things to memorize. That'd be mm-hmm. great. Or like with because you're right, with a rhythm and a musical cadence, mm-hmm. it's stickier. You know,
you work on that.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Well, and I remember too. Sorry, Josh. I remember too when I was even in college or school, just in general, memorizing things and just coming up with catchy things to help me remember it. So mm-hmm. I think I need to look at it that way.
Yeah.
So thank you, Josh.
You got it. I'm going to read the commentary on this really quick. Right after I remind everyone, come on, 12:1. Let's go for it this week, okay?
Romans
12. Well, Dave, you are on fire, buddy. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, this is the commentary for that. Holy and acceptable. All the baptized are called to live a life of holiness,
living virtuously, avoiding impurity of mind and action, mm-hmm. and practicing moderation in food and drink. The moral life is a form of spiritual worship that sets the stage for a solid spiritual life expressed in an intimate friendship with Christ. Lastly, this life in Christ will also be made manifest through habitual deeds of charity.
And how beautiful is that when you actually read and explain what the scripture mm-hmm. verse is talking about and how we can relate to it today?
Yeah, it's a gift, and it's a reminder. We think that prayer or connecting with God is something that we do in the beginning of the day and the end of the day, but
all
it says,
long.
Yeah, living sacrifice,
yes.
right? Which means our life is a posture of worship mm-hmm. as we walk through the day.
Well, and I know I'm constantly, you know, like I drove in this morning, I've got, you know, like an hour commute mm-hmm. and I'm pulling into the parking lot. And I just did a little, you know, thank you, God, for getting me here.
Amen.
That's just a little prayer like that, you know.
Communication with him. And I've talked mm-hmm. about this before, even with my sixth grade class at Sunday school. Prayer is not always necessarily a prayer that we learned years ago. It could mm-hmm. be a conversation. Have yeah. a conversation with the Lord. Talk to him.
Or it can be silent. Just
yes.
listening
and
for
listening,
the Lord.
Listen to him speak mm-hmm. to us.
Yeah. yeah mm-hmm. I mean, it is a two-way conversation.
Mm-hmm. It should be.
If we want to hear.
You know, my favorite verse, you know, there's the scripture verse, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. But I got my own twist. Listen, Lord, your servant's speaking.
Yeah. You having any luck with that one?
It's just a lot of frustration, actually.
Josh, you are too much.
But to your point, Dave, remember what Father Scott said in one of the radio chats we had with him? He talked about this book. Somebody was really struggling in life, and one of their friends said, you should write down 1,000 yeah. things that you're grateful for. Mm-hmm. And the first day or the first thing they wrote down bagels with strawberry jam.
Yes. And that yeah. might even be something
sure.
good to do today, right?
Yeah. Make a gratitude list.
A gratitude list and start it.
1,000, though, that's a lot.
That's a lot. I wonder how, I'm assuming there was a... It wasn't one day.
Yeah, I'm sure it was multiple days. But truly, I remember being on a Lenten retreat years ago and just going out there by the lake, quiet, and just saying, speak, Lord. And mm-hmm. all these things started coming to me. So really, if we quiet ourselves and if we say, Holy Spirit, help us know what we're grateful for. Again, it could be waking up today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank you for letting me live another day. Thank you for letting me breathe, you know, and be healthy. Mm-hmm. Or even if you have something medically that's, you know, causing some strain, you know, thank you for the gift of this cross because I know you mm-hmm. love me and you're here with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can turn everything into something you could be grateful for. It's just making your mind know and think about it because it's mm-hmm. so easy to be ungrateful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And there is, I think, a certain amount of freedom that comes with
yeah.
acceptance in areas mm-hmm. as well. But I'd say two things. One thing, very powerful that I've had happen at times, you know, when I'm in a rut or not, there have been times I've gone and meditated on gratitude where I breathe in and I say, I love you, Jesus, and mm-hmm. I breathe out and I say, thank you, Jesus, for, and I fill in the blank with something I'm grateful for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Think about setting a timer. You do that over and over again, even for just 2 minutes, you're going to come out in a different state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Very,
absolutely.
Very true. And to your point about... I thought that was such a powerful point you had, Allison, about even being grateful for a cross.
Yeah.
There's certain things there's certain things God has just taken from my life through the help of some, you know, support systems that he's put me out, you know, put in front of my path, praise God, like sobriety over mm-hmm. 16 years.
Praise God.
Praise God for that. And it's such a gift, but at the same time, there's certain things I have diagnosed OCD,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's been a challenge for me over the years. And I've always been trying to fix it, to make it. And while there have been major strides and improvements mm-hmm. in at times, it's never been taken. Like the cross has never been lifted. And I've actually found some peace recently. And maybe it's temporary peace, but just coming to a place and saying, okay, God, I try so hard to change something, but maybe you don't want it mm-hmm. totally changed. Maybe you just want this to testify to your glory, the fact that I have to rely more heavily on you in order to persevere with some of these challenges.
Well, and I saw a thing that said God did not remove the Red Sea. He parted it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes he doesn't take away what your issue is. He just helps you to get through it.
Amen. Yeah.
So it's a perfect example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And Josh, what an example, because people you might encounter, the Lord might put people in your path that might have, you know, that same struggle.
Yeah.
And what a witness you are, because if it were gone, how, you know, I had it and it's gone. But when you're experiencing that, what power that is for the Lord to share that with somebody else, that you can make it through, you can deal with this.
Mm-hmm. And it's like Paul just speaks so universally to the human condition. I mean, this verse will apply to everybody at some point when he says, you know, three times I asked the Lord to remove it from me, my infirmity. But he said, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
And he talks about how he will actually boast of his infirmities or his challenges, because in his weakness, essentially, you know, the Lord is strong. When he's weak, he is strong through God's grace.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how easy is it not to share your weaknesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think in society, in our world, we have this perception that we have to come off that we know everything, that we've got it together, that we have no problems. And even like being on the radio, right? I mean, I'm not perfect by any means. And it's humbling to know that people are going through things, right? And we can truly be real. We're all on a journey.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And speaking of a journey, Allison, is there a journey today for our listeners?
And will we find joy in that journey?
You know we will, guys. So yeah, we got a great show ahead of us. Father Blatt, he has a beautiful gospel reflection that he gave on New Year's Day that definitely talks about how we can live our life closer to Christ, and as well as with Mother Mary in the new year. So his gospel reflection will be coming up today.
And what a good and thematic message for the new year.
Oh,
right?
It's beautiful, beautiful.
And we didn't get to hear it. That's the other thing. This is like in the Quest vault, and Father Adam Blatt is one of the MVPs of this station.
Yeah.
So you're in for a treat.
He is amazing. Chuck Perser is going to be talking about St. Kevin of Glendala?
Maybe.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Isn't she the good witch of the East?
Glenda, the good witch. Oh my gosh. And also Kathleen Linneman, she is going to be back with us, Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel. And she is going to be talking about the beautiful event called Miracle Night that's going to be at St. Michael the Archangel in a few weeks. So great conversation with her. And then coming up next, Jane Robbins, retired lawyer who worked several years for pro-family groups at the Georgia Capitol, as well as Patty DeCraney, physical therapist here in Atlanta area and strong pro-life family and pro-life activist. They're here to talk about their local show that is starting back this Saturday called Legislation Made Simple. It airs at 2:00 and re-airs on Sundays at 4:00.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are delighted to have Jane Robbins, retired lawyer who worked several years for pro-family groups at the Georgia Capitol, as well as Patty DeCraney, physical therapist here in the Atlanta area, and strong pro-family and pro-life activist. They are here to talk about their local show, Legislation Made Simple, that kicks off this Saturday, January 11th at 2 p.m. and re-airs Sunday at 4 p.m. Welcome to the Morning Quest, ladies.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
No, I'm so glad you're here. And the name Legislation Made Simple, great title. I think you did a few spins with different titles. Legislation Made Complicated didn't really make the final cut.
It doesn't work. It was a close thing.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just y'all reading legal contracts all day on the show.
Josh, I'm the simple part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Jane, the brilliant lawyer that she is. I tried to make it simple for our listeners.
Perfect.
So that's how we came up with that name.
And I'm really grateful for that, because Jane, you came on our show about that pro-life ratification that happened, and then praise God it got flipped and overturned. But you made it just so palatable and understanding for me, someone with zero legal experience. Thank you both for your contribution and your gift to the Catholic audience that really needs to be able to understand that.
Our show's a little bit unique because it only airs during the Georgia General Assembly legislative session, which is 40 working days, and it's fast and furious, but we are there to inform and educate. And me being the simple part of it, I have learned so much from being a part of the show. This is our third season. Mm-hmm. It starts this weekend. Mm-hmm. We're going to air the first show, but it starts January 13th and goes until April 4th.
Mm-hmm. The legislative session goes until April 4th.
I've learned about how Bill travels through the legislation and how we can contact our legislators and more about walking around the Capitol. Jane has taken me down there and how easy it really is to get to know your legislator. And also there's public hearings where you can be a part of going down and speaking out if it's something that so moves you. And Jane, if you could give some ideas of some of the bills that we've talked about.
Yes, in the past 2 years, we've dealt with a lot of topics, actually. We've dealt with some of the pro-life things and the heartbeat bill that Josh mentioned. So we'll see if anything's going to happen with that this year. We've dealt with religious freedom issues, and we do expect that something will happen with that, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which we will talk about on our show. That will probably come up. We've dealt with gambling issues, which was something that wasn't on my radar at all until about 6 or 7 years ago.
They were thinking of building like casinos in Atlanta or things like that?
Yeah, right. Yes, right. Casinos. Otherwise known as resort destinations. Sounds better than casinos.
Yes, it does.
But now the daily fantasy sports and the what some people refer to as predatory gambling is constantly a topic of discussion, and it's been beaten back every year. Mm-hmm. And the gambling lobbyists will be there, and it'll come up again big time. So we've talked about that, and we've had some really expert people to come in on our show, because that's one thing that we do is we try to get people who know what they're talking about on this, and the people who testify at these hearings because they have actual good information to give to the legislators. And so we know some of those people, and we can get them to come and talk to us, and we think that we've had some good conversations there. So we've done gambling, we've done marijuana, because there's still legislation going on about that with the medical marijuana versus how far does that go, and a lot of things that present interesting fodder for conversation.
It's really great that y'all are on top of this stuff, because I mean, if one or two of these things go through, as we see, just a gentle tilt in another direction can have major societal ramifications.
Absolutely. And to talking about being on top of things, sometimes I'm sitting here waiting for a text from one of the people I know down at the Capitol. So, well, what can I say on the show today about this? What has happened? He says, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And so we're doing the show, and I'm watching the phone to see if the text comes in.
Yeah. Right.
As Patty said, it's fast and furious because they're there for 3 months, but it's not 5 days a week. Sometimes it is, but usually not. And even when they're not actually in session, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. They're meeting with other people on the committees, and it matters so much which committee something gets sent to because whoever's in charge of that committee has a lot of power. And so we try to keep up with some of that and to inform people as best we can.
And even just hearing the topics you're talking about, that pertains to all of us.
That's right.
Kids, our children.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, really, when we're looking at the legislation here in Georgia, that has a huge impact on all of us.
Well, it has much more of an impact than we realize, because for years and years, when I was raising my children, I didn't care what was going on at the Georgia Assembly. It just wasn't something that I ever thought about. I kept up with what was going on nationally. I could tell you what Congress was fighting over.
Yeah.
But that sometimes has less to do with my life than what's going on in the Georgia General Assembly, especially like another topic that we have dealt with and will this year, I'm sure, is what's going on in schools with the library books, the pornography in schools.
Oh, gosh.
Things like that. What's going on, the whole transgender issue, the cult that we have been talking about, and we've had some real experts to talk about that. These things can affect everyone's family.
Absolutely.
Just on a daily basis. And so we just hope that we'll be able to spread a little bit of information about those things.
Information, and we can influence the bill. That's what I feel best about with what we're trying to do here, is that all of our listeners, all of you out there, you can also influence how things will end up. You know, we can make a change. Like the gambling, Jane said that has been pushed back. Well, it's not without a lot of work. Correct. From many people. The Baptist, right?
Yeah.
The
Georgia Baptists have been front and center on that. And they have beaten the Las Vegas companies.
Really?
Yes.
You think about how much money they're going
money.
Up against.
Well, that's right.
A former state senator mentioned one time that with the companies from Las Vegas, the Las Vegas companies, they have hundreds of millions of dollars that they use for this. He said, and we will fight it by passing the plate in Sunday school, which is pretty much it. But a long time ago, a Georgia state senator told me that if five people call my office about an issue, I know it's a big issue. Mm. He said, if two people come to see me about an issue, I know it's a huge issue.
Wow.
So
beautiful.
People out there, our listeners, have so much more power than you realize you have.
That's right.
Just making a phone call. Mm-hmm. If you do it and 10 of your friends do it too,
you can
really change things.
That's right. And don't be afraid to come down and speak.
We want to demystify it. And
If
this is a word, which it's not, but de-intimidate it. Because the building is so big and beautiful and, you know, they sit behind these
gold,
big desks and you're
gold,
thinking,
right?
Yeah, the gold dome. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm just a, you know, average citizen. And
right.
I'm not as smart as... Let me assure you, you are as smart.
If not smarter.
Yes, don't be intimidated.
Never be intimidated. And Patty said you can go down and even speak at hearings, because you just have to sign up. They put out a sheet of paper at the beginning of every committee meeting and say, whoever wants to sign up on bills, come up here and write your name down.
And we'll let you know during the show. We'll let you know how you could do this.
Yeah, when the hearing's going to be.
Yeah, when the hearing's going to be. And also you can refer to the legislation.
Yeah.
The bill number, the website, the Georgia General Assembly, as well as coming to the Quest to see what our podcast is.
Beautiful. And I'm looking on our website here, the legislative session. You guys will be posting information on our Quest website as well?
Yes. Yes. We'll try to keep a status update on what bills have been introduced, the ones that we're following. Is anything happening? Has it come out of committee yet? This kind of thing. So that's what we try to do.
Well, thank you guys so much. And just since so many of our listeners are curious, if gambling does get passed, can people call in and bet on what bills will go through with you guys?
Josh, if there is money to be made from it, I am sure it will happen.
In all seriousness, thank you guys so much making this understandable for myself and our Quest family. We are incredibly grateful, especially you guys are on the front lines standing up for so many critical issues.
Thank you
talking to us. Yes. And again, the first segment is going to be the Saturday, January 11th at 2 o'clock p.m. It's going to re-air on Sunday at 4 o'clock p.m.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Coming up later in the show, Chuck Persner is going to be talking to us about St. Kevin of Glendalough. Also, Kathleen Lindemann, Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel, is going to be talking about their upcoming Miracle Night experience. And coming up next, Father Adam Blatt from Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, is going to be reflecting on the gospel reading from New Year's Day and how we can bring this message into the new year.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for more to life.
But now let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Father Adam Blatt, pastor at Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia. Welcome back and Happy New Year, Father.
Happy New Year. Always good to be here. Let's jump right in. Today we start with the Gospel of Luke. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they had made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds, and Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Wonderful! Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, you guys got New Year's resolutions? A new year, a new you?
To not be so handsome.
Is that you just setting yourself up for failure, Joe?
I don't like to brag, but I'm really humble.
There you go. Guys, this is today is the new year, and today we celebrate the solemnity of the Mother of God. And I think it's very appropriate that this particular feast day, this particular solemnity, is celebrated on January 1st, a day that typically in the secular world goes hand in hand with New Year's resolutions. You know, I'm sure you guys all have them. I'm sure you all break them. You know, I hope that you don't. I hope whatever resolution you make, I hope you stick to it. And it works out for you, you know. And I think this is as good a time as any, but I think it's a very appropriate time to do that, especially on this feast day. You know, I mean, when you think about what this is, what this day is, what we just celebrated. We just celebrated Christmas, you know. So Mary is a new mother this year.
Well, you're right, though. Hello, mother. Hello, father.
Yes, yeah, yeah. She's a new mom this year, and this year her life completely changes in that newness. And in a way, this new year is our opportunity to do the same. You know, we've been given, in a certain sense, we've been given the same gift that she has, you know, in the fact that Christ has come to us just several days ago, just a week ago or so, in Christmas. And so now we have that opportunity to accept him and to start this new year with a new life, just as our Blessed Mother did, you know. And I think that one of the advantages we have, and this is going to sound weird, we have an advantage that Mary didn't have. If you look at this reading, we enter in this new year, this new life with joy and excitement, and we're ready for what's coming, because we know what the birth of Christ means. Mary, not so much. She knew what it meant, but it wasn't as much joy as you might think, or maybe not, you know. I mean, this is a little speculative theology, but, you know, we read this reading, and what's it say? Mary, you know, after they told Mary and Joseph all these things, it says Mary kept all these things in her heart. She reflected on them. It doesn't quite sound like the excitement of a new mom, does it? Why might that be? I think what Mary was reflecting on was the fact that she understood who her son was, and she understood what was going to happen in the end. And so it's this piercing sense of bittersweetness, you know, of new motherhood, of having this child, but knowing what this was going to mean. Fulton Sheen explains it kind of like this. He says that the shadow of the cross was there to meet this child from the beginning. And that's what Mary was reflecting on in her heart, was that shadow of the cross. And so where does our advantage come in? So we can say that everybody before the crucifixion lived in the shadow of this cross. Everybody after lives in the light of it. And that's our advantage, is that we get to enter into this new year. We get to enter into this new us in the light of Christ, right? In the light of the cross, knowing that the resurrection is coming. You know, Mary had to go experience that first, and that can be a little hard.
Well, you know what I think? It's just the proof in the song was absolutely true. Mary had a little lamb. Now it all makes sense.
You know, it's probably a talk for a different day, but that is very true, Josh. It's funny. God talks to us and speaks to us in so many different ways, and through so many different avenues. And even that, as silly as that might be, and I know you're making a joke, but you're absolutely right.
I think it's true.
You know,
Lamb of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Holy Spirit works in the secular as much as the religious.
Yeah. And what's interesting, you know, this verse about the shepherds, right? And this, I'm going to borrow a line from St. Gregory of Nazianzus. The humble shepherds were the first to receive the good news, for it is to the humble and lowly of heart that God reveals his mysteries.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we sometimes might think that I'm unworthy of stepping into what God's called me to, or embracing, you know, such unending forgiveness, but this is proof positive that is not the case. And what strikes me about this scene in general, it is just adoration. It's just pure adoration.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
The first holy hour in history.
Yeah. True.
That's very true. And I love how you kind of bring humility into this, you know, with that quote, because I think that to start a new year and to start it with our mother, I mean, who is more humble than our Lady when she says, "Let it be done to me according to thy word," you know, at the Annunciation, to lead into all this. And so for us to have a new life and a new us and to grow in faith, you can't do that unless you start with humility.
Yes.
You know, and so these humble shepherds, I mean, that's how this passage, this story starts, is with humility.
That's so beautiful. Well, Father, what would be a good takeaway for us today?
I think today, brothers and sisters, as you guys are commuting or wherever you're listening to this at, kind of just sit with God a little bit, sit in prayer and ask yourself, you know, what are the things that you reflect on as our Blessed Mother did? What do you reflect on in your heart? And how are you going to allow the gift of our Lord this year to help bring you into deeper humility and to change your heart or help to change you as a better disciple this year?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, guys.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Chuck Persner is back here with us today, and he is going to be talking about another saint of the day. Good morning, Chuck.
All right. Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chuck. I got something for you today. Yo, we got a saint scholar and his name is Chuck, dropping holy wisdom like lightning struck from the New York streets where the city don't sleep with saints on his mind. Yeah, he's always digging deep. Chuck-a-doodle-doo, yeah, he's breaking it down. Chuckle-doodle-dee, best saint scholar in town. The end.
So why don't we call it a day? Because I'm not sure how we like follow that up. I really don't.
I don't either. Other than what do we have, Chuck?
Well, we've got, I'll try and keep a straight face here. We have a saint that, interestingly enough, Kevin Butts is a friend of mine. Yeah. I think he's a friend of yours as well, Allison. He's a parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel. A good man. I see him at Daily Mass. He's an RCIA sponsor. His son, Jacob, is actually a seminarian here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta, and I think, God be willing, in a year or so, he's going to be a priest.
Awesome.
So he had mentioned to me coming out of Mass one morning that his two saints, his first name Kevin, and his confirmation name Christopher, are two saints that have fallen off of the liturgical calendar. And we got to talking about that. And, you know, that does happen. Over the course of time, we've seen that. And, in fact, we've talked about St. Philomena, I think. She fell off the liturgical calendar, as did a few others, many others, actually, in time. And that's just the nature of the game. I think sometimes as times change, and I was thinking about it as we were getting ready to record this, you know, 5,000 years from now, there'll probably be more saints off the calendar and many more on. So it's just that liturgical give and take, you know, as times change. But having said that, they still remain saints. They still remain forever in our hearts.
Yes, prayer and, partners, they're you know, there.
In the case of St. Kevin, of course, we know a lot of people who are Irish who have that name. So we thought we would talk about St. Kevin of Glendalough today. And, you know, as Kevin was telling a story in the parking lot, I said, this guy is worthy of a segment because it's quite an amazing story. He is one of the principal saints, patrons of Dublin. He founded the Abbey of Glendalough. It's a famous and quite beautiful abbey, which has become, over time, one of the four principal pilgrimage destinations of Ireland.
Wow.
Now, a lot of what we know about St. Kevin does come from legend, as we talked about before going on the air, the stories that have been handed down. And, you know, the Irish are pretty good storytellers, as you might know. Allison, are you Irish?
Yeah.
No.
You're not Irish?
No.
And Josh, you're not Irish.
On my mother's side, they actually have a genealogy book. Her grandmother is a Plunkett. And do you know who else is a Plunkett that's a saint?
St. Oliver Plunkett.
Yes. And really? They actually, the lineage, the family tree goes back to him.
Wow. Really?
So you have no excuse.
No.
You're back home.
That's pretty cool.
We actually went and visited, when we went to Ireland, we visited his church in Drogheda, and his head is on display.
Wow.
It's really, yeah, it was, honestly, that. It was quite powerful.
I've heard that.
And not only was it on display, it was Eucharistic adoration.
Oh,
no. His head on display. So, not adoring his head, but adoring Jesus was on the altar, and then his head was in a case to the side.
Wow. Yeah.
Are you full-blooded Irish?
Mostly, about 87%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I found that out recently through an ancestry test. I knew I was at least half, but it turns out far more so.
Nice.
Yep, but you know, according to tradition, St. Kevin was born of royal descent in Leinster at the Fort of White Fountain. He was baptized by St. Cronin and educated by St. Petroc of Cornwall. So there is a saintly pedigree in his past as well, in how he was trained and how he received the sacraments. At 7 years of age, his parents sent him to be educated by the monks, in whose care he remained until he was grown. And it was during these years that he was formed and ultimately became ordained as a result of the experience. Mm-hmm. He lived for 7 years as a hermit in the upper regions of Glendalough, perhaps better known as the Valley of Two Lakes.
Wow.
He was then discovered by a cattle farmer who persuaded him to leave his solitude. It's interesting that the people that God puts in your life to get them to move on to the next stage of his life, because he couldn't remain a hermit his whole life and go on to accomplish the things that he did. It's the Holy Spirit at work, as always. He went to desert Comegnan, where he founded a monastery for the disciples that he attracted. Soon after, due to a shortage of food, and, you know, famines were, of course, commonplace throughout Ireland.
There was
in history.
A big potato famine at one point, right?
Absolutely, yep. But he wound up moving the community to Glendalough, further up the Glen, to the place where the two rivers met at Glendalough. He would go on to establish his permanent monastery. And again, that's really what he is most known for, to which many disciples would soon flock. He would make a pilgrimage to Rome to bring back the blessing of the Pope for his community that he was forming, this fledgling community.
Wow.
And it is said that he brought back numerous holy relics. Very smart move on his part to have those relics in his newly formed community. In fact, we just had a relic in the studio the other day. And, you know, it speaks to the power of them. And, you know, for our non-Catholic listeners, I don't think we mentioned this the other day. You know, a relic is any physical remnant of a saint. It could be a lock of hair. In the case of the relic we had in the studio, Mother Seton, it was a bone chip. We don't worship them. Mm-mm. But, you know, we have them to venerate, to remind us of these saints and to remind us that the heavens do touch the earth. We will one day be reunited in our resurrected bodies. So it's a reminder of the physical that they leave behind and the spiritual, of course, that they continue to nourish us with.
And their prayer partners. I mean, they are interceding for us. Just like I say, Chuck, can you please pray for me? I'm going through a hard time. You pray. They pray for us as well. So it's beautiful.
So, you know, it's an interesting guy. He was known as and referred to as a soldier of Christ over the land of Ireland. His fame as a teacher and holy man spread far and wide. Many people came to seek his help and his guidance. So in that way, he used the gift of wisdom that he received through prayers and the gift of the Holy Spirit to help others. Yeah, a hermit and a pilgrim at heart, though. He disliked being tied down until his death, though. He did preside over his monastery in Glendalough, living his life by those Catholic pillars of fasting, praying, and of course, using his gift to teach.
He is one of the patron saints of Dublin, the patron saint of Glendalough, and also the patron saint of blackbirds, ravens, and crows.
That's interesting, isn't it? I think Josh has a story around that.
Well, there's one famous story that recounts how a blackbird laid an egg in Kevin's outstretched hand while he was deep in prayer. And he remained still until the egg hatched, symbolizing his patience and reverence for creation. Pretty interesting stuff, right?
Yeah, legend, yeah.
Yeah, patience, prayer, respect, like you said, for all things living.
And that's something for us to all take to heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do every morning before I make my breakfast. I hit my knees and hold my eggs in my hand and just see if one of these chickadoodle-doos will...
I thought you were saying you put your eggs in the frying pan.
Oh, that's what I did. Yeah. I'm not as patient. I actually make them hatch on my own and scramble a good old-fashioned omelet. But
nothing like some raven and bacon for the morning.
Oh, you know,
scrambled raven. You got to love that. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be? That'd be a sound like a great menu item. Raven bacon.
Oh my god!
Bacon we've all been raving about.
I've lost my appetite.
I wonder if he's also the patron saint of the Baltimore Ravens. I think they play this weekend. Aww. I'm not sure. I don't know.
But, I don't know.
So another interesting thing that the settlement includes churches, stone crosses. His monastic settlement in Glendalough. The settlement includes churches, stone crosses in the iconic round tower, some of which can still be visited today.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, it'd be interesting to know if any of our listeners have made a pilgrimage to this monastery. I know we have a lot of Irish listeners, and it's a popular destination. If any of our listeners have, we'd love to hear from you through the email or call in and tell us what your experience was.
Here's a little trivia for y'all. Who is considered the first Catholic in Ireland?
Hmm.
A lot of people say...
We talked about an Irish nun. It probably wouldn't have been her. Benedictine nun? Yeah, I know. They're going to say St. Patrick, right? It's not St. Patrick.
It's Palladius, apparently. A bishop sent to Ireland in 431 by Pope Celestine?
Celestine.
The first.
First or the fifth? The first. Okay.
Good Pope?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, Chuck, we love you. And I think I need to close you out with something.
I'm not sure how you're going to top the opening, but...
You're the Catholic connection, theology star, kicking saint facts like a touchdown from afar. Saint Therese, Saint Jude, Chuck knows them all. Faith like a linebacker standing tall.
Saint Kevin of Glendalough.
Pray for us.
I was going to say play for us. Okay, say it
play
again.
For
say
us.
It again.
Saint Kevin of Glendalough.
Pray for us.
I am Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
Kathleen Lindemann, Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel, will be talking to us this morning about their upcoming event, Miracle Night, where we can experience the magical mystery of miracles. So welcome back, Kathleen.
Hey, it's great to be back again. Good morning.
Kathleen, it's so exciting to see how many incredible events you are hosting and quarterbacking around this diocese. I'd love to know the history of this one. What inspired it?
Well, that's a great question. Years ago, when I was living in the Archdiocese of Detroit, my local parish had Miracle Night. Mm-hmm. And so I went to it. And it was basically, you know, people getting together at the table and people would get up and they would share a story that they believed was a miracle in their life. And then they would finish the story and then we'd have like group discussion. And one of the stories was a police officer had gotten up and he had talked about a terrible call that he had gone on, and it was a domestic violent, you know, family situation, and a child was hurt, and they were trying to get a priest to come and bless this child in the hospital because this child was, you know, the victim of, you know, a bad situation. And they called and called, and they couldn't get a priest, and finally they got a priest, and the priest came, and he goes, you know, I don't even know who that priest was, but it was just such a blessing, and he blessed all of us because we had, you know, witnessed this horrific thing, and, you know, the baby ended up, you know, passing away, but, it, you know, the priest was there to bless it. And he talked about the miracle of God working in the lives of all the people that were there by bringing that certain priest. And he goes, you know, he goes, I don't even remember who that priest was. It was so long ago, but God bless him. And he got done with his story. And there was probably other elements to that story as well. And so we're sitting around at the table. And the question was, you know, how can you relate to the story? And the priest at the table was the priest that blessed them that night.
Wow.
The police officer didn't remember who the priest was, but the priest was at my table.
Wow.
He was the priest. That was like the miracle of miracles.
Divine.
To like connect all the, and I was so profoundly touched years ago by that I always wanted to do a miracle night. So this coming January 18th at St. Michael the Archangel Church in Woodstock, we're going to have what I'm hoping to be the first annual, which will be the second, third, fourth, and so on.
Yes.
If it's successful, praise God, Miracle Night. And this basically is coming together, bringing people that I have talked to that have shared miracles with me. And I've prayed for God to show me someone who has a miracle, Lord, because it's getting close and I got some stories I have to provide. And God just, you know, people start talking to you and there's a miracle. And like, can you talk at Miracle Night? And so what this is going to be is dinner, miracle stories, beautiful music, dessert, and discussion.
Mm.
And it's bringing the community together. And we're Catholic. We like to eat.
Yes.
We eat at every Mass. So why not have delicious food? And so we're going to have a delicious dinner. We're going to sit around in what, like I call our family center. It's truly the family center. And I say, parish family, we're back together in the giant kitchen of our home. And we're just going to have dinner together. And we're going to listen and share stories, have people from the parish share their stories. Because, you know, Josh and Allison, there's miracles happening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're so busy and so driven that we don't see the miracles that are happening right before us. And so this is a night that says we're going to slow down. Mm-hmm. We're on holy ground. And let's talk about the miracles that have definitely happened in our lives.
Wow.
And find out that many people are probably experiencing them also.
Yes.
And it gives us a place, a safe place to share that.
That's beautiful.
What a gift to spotlight and help cultivate an attitude of gratitude. There's one thing I've thought about in my prayer time in the past. This is actually even before I was Catholic. I would wake up in the morning and, you know, maybe read scripture, do whatever spiritual routine I had. But one thing I had incorporated in time, and I'll get back to it sometimes, I really should just do it daily, is it was almost like a meditative gratitude sequence on Christ. I'd breathe in, I'd say, I love you, Jesus. I'd breathe out and I'd say, thank you, Jesus, for, and I'd just fill in the blank with something. And if you set a timer and just do that over and over, even if it's 2 minutes, you've said, I mean, I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you're just listing thing after thing after thing. You're going to come out of that sequence different than when you entered it. And
oh,
it sounds
sure.
like this is really orienting people in a trajectory of gratitude towards God.
And one of the things, too, is that I think when things miraculously happen to us, we know at the time something just happened. Mm-hmm. And we know it's holy and we feel really connected to God. Mm-hmm. But then we don't really want to tell others about it. And then the more we don't talk about it, then we start wondering, did that really happen? We start second guessing, was that really a God moment? You know, and I always say there's no such thing as coincidence. It's co-winky dink. Hmm. It's God just winking, going, I'm there.
Yes.
I'm in this situation. And so this night I'm praying is going to be a conduit to open up the floodgates and let people go, gosh, that story reminds me of a time. Like, for instance, right now, I'm thinking of a time we were on vacation and we were going to the car with the kids. We were away from the home, so we were on vacations in a remote place. And we were about to get in the car where we were driving somewhere in Colorado. So it was going to be very hilly and mountainous. And this woman says, oh, your tire in the back is going flat. I mean, we were just getting the kids in the car. We weren't paying attention to the car. And we all, of course, went to go look at the tire, and we looked up, and the woman wasn't there.
Wow.
And my husband goes, where's that woman? I want to thank her. Oh, my gosh, we have to look at this tire now. And the woman wasn't there. Mm. Well, you can say that's a coincidence. That was a nice lady. I mean, she wasn't there. It was 2 seconds. And yet, I kind of think that was kind of like a coinkydink.
Yes.
You know, God providing. I mean, you hear these stories of people saying, you know, I felt like I was being pulled out from this way or that way. And, you know, our guardian angel is there, right? Miracles are happening all the time. Let's provide a place to talk about them and then give glory to God for them.
Amen. Wow.
So this event, Kathleen, this is open to people from other parishes as well?
Oh, please bring everyone you know. This is an opportunity and an evangelistic moment to invite a neighbor who maybe has fallen away from the faith or maybe isn't Catholic at all to come, because we all have to eat.
Yes.
We all have to see beautiful surroundings, which, believe me, it will be beautiful. My decorating committee is working on it as I speak. And have delicious food and listen to stories that nobody can tell you that didn't happen, because it's your story.
And isn't that the power of a testimony?
Right.
Someone can contest your faith or contest Christianity, and they can argue with doctrine or scripture, but they can't argue with your story.
Right. And that's the power, right, Josh? Mm-hmm. It's your story. No one can say it didn't happen to you.
Yeah.
And so it's very easy to register. You just go online to stmichaeltheachangel.org, and we have a button right on the website. You don't have to search through the website. I made it real easy. Click it, register, come on January 18th, and be wowed by the mystery of the miracles.
And is there a deadline to register for this event, Kathleen?
Yeah, the deadline will be January 15th. So, you know, bring your whole family and just listen and be a part of something miraculous.
Wow. Praise Kathleen God. Lindemann, what a beautiful opportunity to grow in our faith and to just stop and think and listen to others and realize that there are miracles in our lives too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a phrase that I heard in 12-step literature, and it says, the age of miracles is surely still among us.
Mm. Yeah. And this will prove it.
Amen. Thank you so much again, Kathleen Niman, for blessing us with this upcoming opportunity. We look forward to attending and learning more about all the miracles.
Praise God.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Well, 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 we love you guys, and I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're staying warm. I hope you're staying prayed up. We are pre-recording this, just a reminder, because we are not at work today. Why is that?
Because of the snow.
The snow.
And the ice.
And the ice. Yeah. We don't know how bad or good it was. Again, this is hypothetical right now, because we are time traveling.
Yeah, right now it's yesterday for us.
You're confused. Wow, that's a lot to think about.
But you know what, guys? I do believe something did come down. So I found a neat article on Psychology Today. The title is How to Have the Perfect Snow Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Number one, what do you think it is?
Hot chocolate?
Go outside.
Go outside, absolutely.
Go outside. According to one study in Finland, exposure to snow-covered landscape decreased negative moods, including tension, anxiety, and anger hostility measures. So go outside and enjoy the beautiful view.
Not like this meme that I'm looking at. It's a it's a meme, and it's of a southerners during snow, and it's a father. You see one snowflake falling over a mailbox that says the South, and the dad is screaming at his kids, "To the panic room!"
No way, no way.
That's not far from reality.
No, second, play in the snow. So don't just look at it. Go outside and play in it, even adults.
What if you have like a sledding game on your Wii? Does that count?
No.
It doesn't, okay.
No, no, no! Yeah, go outside and play. And next one, interact with others. How many of us get so busy with our lives and you don't see your neighbors, or you drive by and you're waving to them? Today's a beautiful day to actually interact with those neighbors.
Well, and if you've got like a sledding hill in the neighborhood, everybody's going to gather there. Go hang out for a little while.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I saw another thing that I thought was pretty funny. It's a description, and it said Southerner. It's a northerner and a southerner. The northerner is like, "That's not snow." And the southerner goes, "Shut up and hand me the sled." And he hands him the lid from his trash can.
Oh, wow. That used to be used as one.
Mm-hmm.
Help each other out. If there's a neighbor that has an icy or snowy driveway, go help them out.
Especially if they're older.
Absolutely.
Like me. I'm older. Somebody can come shovel my driveway.
Come help Dave. We're going to have a GoFundMe for Dave.
That's hilarious. Finally, take lots of pictures is number 5. Have a special meal. And lastly, stay safe.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Ways to have a wonderful day in the snow.
What a wonderful gift to close on. Glory be to the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.